Chapter 32. Ledros loomed over Hecarim, his sword held above him like an executioner's blade.
Wait!
He froze.
Why?
Callista knew it was taking all of Ledros's will to obey her order. On the ground, Hecarim's gaze flicked between her and his would-be killer, perhaps sensing an unexpected chance to live. Soldiers on both sides paused to see how this situation played out.
With him alive, we may avert complete disaster,
said Callista, stepping forward and putting a hand on Ledros's shoulder. She felt him trembling with fury.
Above all else, Viego must be stopped.
This honorless bastard deserves death.
The words were spoken through clenched teeth.
He does, but there is more at stake.
Listen to your general, soldier,
said Hecarim, a smile in his voice. In that moment, Callista almost killed him herself, and she felt Ledros tense.
Hold,
she hissed, as much to herself as to the giant commander.
Knights of the Iron Order!
Hecarim bellowed from the ground.
Stand down! Cease fighting!
The battle slowly came to a halt, as other knights took up the cry and stepped back. There were only 9 warriors of the host still standing. The Iron Order had them completely surrounded, but Callista noted with pride that far more knights littered the ground than her own soldiers. Finally, Ledros grudgingly lowered his blade. Grunting in pain, Hecarim pushed himself up onto one elbow, beginning to rise, but Callista halted him, pressing her spear tip to his throat.
No.
Hecarim swallowed, eyeing the spear, and sank back down to the ground.
What is it that you propose? You may have me at your mercy, but you are surrounded. Kill me, and you and all your soldiers die. You are not exactly in the strongest of bargaining positions.
I go gladly to my grave knowing I took you with me.
He hefted his sword once again, and the Grand Master flinched. Callista stepped in front of Ledros, pushing him back behind her, though she still kept her spear tip at Hecarim's neck. She looked down at the Grand Master, her lip curling.
I hold the only thing you care about, your own wretched life. I'd say I have a very strong bargaining position.
Hecarim stared at her coldly.
What do you want?
I have to go after Viego. You live, and in return, your knights let us pass.
That's it.
That's it. He has to be stopped.
We could have removed him as a problem before it came to this. But your honor would not allow it, remember?
He went too far.
Callista breathed, but Hecarim's words cut her. She could have avoided all of this.
No, I'd say he went too far long ago. But you refused to see it.
He waved a hand dismissively.
But fine, fine. Go do what you need to do. The Iron Order will not stop you.
His tongue is forked. We cannot trust him.
Hecarim rolled his eyes.
Hear my words, Knights of the Iron Order! Let it be known that Callista von Kala Hygari and these brave soldiers of Camivore are under my protection. Any who harm them will face the Iron Judgment and be executed for betrayal of their oaths. Let them pass.
Callista stared at him.
I really don't care if the last of your soldiers live or die. But I do care that I live to see another day. I have ambitions that have yet to come to fruition.
A coward to the end.
He looked at Callista.
Let me kill him. We will all die willingly for you, General.
His statement was met with muttered agreement from the surviving members of the host.
Not a coward. Just not a fool.
Callista narrowed her eyes.
What guarantee can you give me that you will not rescind your order as soon as there is no blade hovering over your neck?
Ancestors above, I am not a savage, Callista. I don't want to see you killed.
He said, then smiled.
I want us to be wed.
Really? After all this?
Like I said, I have ambitions. You are a woman of your word. Give me your oath you will honor our betrothal after all this is done.
Callista's laughter turned into a scowl.
Why would I do that?
As assurance of your safety.
Hecarim's smile widened.
It wouldn't make much sense for me to kill the one who would make me a king, would it?
Cal, don't listen to him.
And what of my soldiers?
If it will sway you, I will let your soldiers walk free. Even this one.
He said with a glance at Ledros.
They've done you proud. More than proud. Fought a damn sight better than I would have ever expected. Once you deal with Viego, I will let them go unharmed. But you will come with me, and we will rule Camivore together.
Don't do this.
Callista turned to look up into his eyes. She hated Hecarim, hated him with every fiber of her being, but she understood him. It was power that he wanted, and marriage to her would give him that. He'd do anything to secure it, and that gave her something to bargain with. She placed a loving hand on Ledros's arm.
If there is even a chance to save you, I have to take it. You have to understand that.
It broke her heart to know they would not be together, but it would be worth it to know she could protect him.
I'd rather die.
You are the best of men, Ledros. Never let anyone make you think otherwise.
This is all very touching, but time is running short. Viego went into that tower quite some time ago. Who knows how far he has already gotten?
Callista risked a glance at the tower with its demolished doors. Slowly she lifted a spear away from Hecarim, who scrambled backward and pushed himself to his feet, grunting in pain. He snatched up his glaive as a squire rushed forward with his horse. Callista stepped toward him as he hauled himself into the saddle, the effort making him wince.
I agree to your terms.
Cal, you can't,
said Ledros behind her, his voice full of angst. Then he grunted, and the ground shook a heartbeat later. She turned to see the giant warrior on his knees.
No!
Only now did she realize the true extent of his injuries. She dropped her spear and stepped close, pressing her hand to the wound just below his chest as she eased him to the ground. Hecarim's glaive had struck deep. Hot blood pumped through her fingers, and she stared at it in horror.
You can't die. You can't.
Callista!
Breathed Ledros, his face pale. She held his face in her hands. The life in his eyes was already fading, like the brightness of the sun obscured by clouds. She pressed her lips to his, tears running down her cheeks. It was their first kiss, and their last.
It wasn't to be for us in this lifetime.
Callista sobbed.
But we will be together in the next. Wait for me in the halls of the ancestors.
Ledros's eyes tried to focus on something over her shoulder.
Cal!
He cried, struggling to rise. She felt a presence then and heard the sound of a steed's hooves on the stones behind her. She rose and started to turn. Hecarim's glaive rammed into her back and the blade punched out through her chest.
You really are far too trusting, Callista.
His voice seemed strangely muted, like she was hearing it underwater.
My knights will swear we wed while crossing the Eternal Ocean before you were tragically cut down by the wicked masters of Helia. I avenge you, of course.
She blinked, staring down at the blade protruding from her chest. It took her a moment to realize what had been done. He'd betrayed her. Of course he'd betrayed her, and now she was dying. She tried to speak, But the searing pain hit her then, and she gasped and dropped to her knees. Her vision wavered, and she saw figures around her bathed in glowing light.
The revered ancestors. They have come to meet me.
She tried to tell them she was not ready, that there were still things she needed to do, that Viego needed to be stopped and Ledros needed to be protected. But she couldn't muster the energy. One of the numinous figures placed a hand upon her, and all her pain disappeared. Everything was becoming indistinct, and she felt suddenly tired. So tired. Her eyes began to close. She could rest now. Then she remembered everything, and her eyes shot open once more.
Betrayer.
She breathed, the word a curse and an accusation. This would not be the end, she swore.
I will not go peacefully into the beyond. I will find a way to make him pay.
Her strength finally gave out, and she collapsed to the ground. Ledros stared at her, blinking, fighting to retain consciousness. Then he roared in fury, denial, and grief. His eyes blazed with renewed vigor, and he surged to his feet, sword still clutched in his hand. Hecarim struggled to pull his weapon free, then gave up, releasing it and hauling his warhorse's head away from Ledros's rampage. The giant swung at him, but Hecarim rode out of reach.
Kill him! Kill them all!
Hecarim bellowed, and the Iron Order closed in. Callista watched from the ground, breathing her last, unable to rise. She saw Ledros in a frenzy, killing with impunity, desperate to carve his way to Hecarim. But the Grand Master was gone. Finally, Ledros fell, pierced by dozens of blades, and Callista's eyes glazed over in death. It was over. Once the last of the custodians fell to sanctity, Viego went back and gently gathered up his dead wife in his arms, but Grail paid him little attention. The warden prefect walked slowly through the doors into that final chamber housing the Well of Ages, his eyes wide. He felt like he knew this space intimately, having spent so many hours poring over its ancient designs. But seeing it now was something else entirely. His gaze was instantly drawn to the water. It glowed with pale light, emanating from a source at the bottom of the well. Whatever it was too deep and too bright to see it clearly, but it hardly mattered. He had won. With a victorious cackle, he dashed forward and dropped to his knees, greedily scooping up handfuls of the glowing water and drinking it in great heaping gulps. This was what the masters had kept from him, hiding it for themselves, but now they were dead, and all of this was his. It was then that he noticed the shades standing around the pool, about a dozen of them. They were motionless, watching him impassively. For his part, Viego appeared not to notice them at all, nor the power and promise of the source of the water's light. The Mad King seemed completely lost in his own delusions. Viego was staring down at his dead wife with an adoring smile, though the woman's face was an unhealthy shade of gray, and her flesh had begun to rot. Grail didn't know what it was the king saw, but it was not anything close to reality.
Can you feel the sun, my darling? Is not its warmth wondrous? Come back to me, and we can live together forever in the sun's light.
Grail shook his head and resisted the urge to laugh at the king's delusion. The only light here was the ethereal glow given off by the waters. Bearing the queen in his arms, Viego walked into the pool. His back was to Grail, and his sword was still impaled within the withered body of the well's last defender. Now was the time to strike. Grail clutched the handle of his sickle. It would be so easy. All he had to do was step forward and bury its blade in the back of the king's skull. There was no one to stop him, and Viego's usefulness had passed. And besides, he didn't imagine the king would be best pleased once he realized the queen wasn't coming back, at least not how he was imagining. And yet Grail stayed his hand, morbidly curious. He'd seen what a few drops of the sacred waters did to the corpse of a rat. What would they do when a human corpse was submerged? He was certain things wouldn't turn out how the king hoped, but he wanted to see what would happen. Ripples radiated outward as Viego stepped farther into the pool and lowered his wife into it. His face was full of reverence as he gently released her. She floated on her back, her pale hair spreading out like a fan over the water, which shimmered with iridescence around her. Grail edged closer, watching with keen interest. A bright light flickered in the depths of the pool, like clouds lit from within during a storm. The queen's body rapidly began to sink, as if being pulled down by a great weight. The corpse plunged deeper and deeper, but that was not what made Grail's breath catch in his throat. The body had sunk, but a shadowy form remained floating atop the water. It was an ethereal replica of the queen, perfect in every detail, utterly motionless. Her eyes flicked open. The queen's shade stared into the darkness above her, unblinking, her eyes leaking pale light. Then she rose from the water. No ripples radiated out around her as she moved, nor did any water drip from her.
My love.
She glanced around her, down at her shadowy arms, then at her own rotting corpse, lying on the bottom of the pool. The light down there had grown dim once more, fading into darkness. When the specter looked back at Viego, her visage was wrenched in horror, revulsion, and panic.
What have you done?
Her voice was hollow and sepulchral, like it was coming from far away.
I have saved you, my darling,
Viego said, stepping toward her.
I have brought you back to me.
Send me back,
the spirit begged, shaking her head.
Send me back.
You are alive, my love. All will be well now.
Send me back.
She cried, covering her face with her hands.
I was one with the light. I was at peace.
Now we can be together, forever and always,
said Viego, wading toward her, holding his arms wide. The spirit stared through her fingers. She looked at Viego, approaching with a loving smile on his face, then glanced at Grail. Her eyes were full of rage, and the warden staggered back beneath the force of will behind them. She returned her attention to Viego and rose above him. She floated up high, staring balefully down at her husband, who was looking up in rapture, as if she were some divine apparition. Fury radiated from her in palpable waves. Her dress and hair flowed languidly around her, as if she were still submerged. Grail edged farther away, but Viego was still lost in his delusions, holding his arms out to her as if yearning for her embrace. She moved in a wild blur, whipping past Viego and streaking through the air toward Grail, her eyes trailing blue-green witchfire. Grail cried out in shock as he felt her pass through him, and an icy coldness clutched his heart, making him gasp. It was like plunging into a frigid, ice-covered lake. He couldn't breathe. He couldn't feel anything. The blur that was the queen's spirit whipped around the chamber, passing over the custodian's corpse, still impaled by sanctity, and swung back out over the pool of sacred water. She returned to where she had started, looming over Viego, and Grail was finally able to suck in a breath still chilled from the spirit's passage. Only then did he realize the queen now held the massive blade of the king in her spectral hands.
Come to me, my love,
cried Viego, oblivious to the danger she presented. She did as the king asked. Her face twisted in rage, the spectral queen hurtled forward and impaled the king upon the length of his own sword. The point of the blade slid out his back, and she drove it on until the crossguard pressed against his chest. Only now did the king's expression falter, his beatific smile turning to shock. Viego's blood ran into the water, and a sudden flurry of blinding flashes came from the depths. Sparking energy danced across the surface of the pool, and Grail jolted backward. He remembered Malgirza's dire warning, and in alarm he realized the old harpy might have been speaking the truth. Viego's flesh withered before his eyes, the king's life and spirit drained by the immense blade. At the same time, the water flared even brighter, its magic working to heal him. The king's face was twisted in torment as the sword and the water worked to destroy and restore him in one endless, agonizing loop. The waters began to darken and roil around Viego's shuddering body. Black mist seeped from the king's fatal wound, bleeding out of him in writhing tendrils. The waters were now as turbulent as a raging sea, even as the strobing light in the depths flickered and flashed erratically, getting brighter and brighter. Grail stood transfixed as the specter lifted Viego into the air. Blood pooled upon the surface of the sacred water like oil. The white mist roiled and twisted like a living thing, recoiling from the pair, locked together in their deathly embrace.
"You never loved me,"
hissed the ghostly vision of the queen, her snarling face close to Viego's.
"Had you cared for me at all, you would have let me go."
Viego's expression shattered like a broken vase, her words causing far more harm than the sword that killed him ever could. With a screech of pure fury, Isolde dove, angling the sword downward and driving the king down with it. They hit the water hard, and she continued driving deeper toward the source of the now wildly flashing light at the bottom. Darkness trailed behind him, leaking from his fatal wound, corrupting the waters further. The stone chamber of the Well of Ages cracked and groaned with a force that must have made the entire city of Helia shudder. Dread washed over Grail. Something catastrophic was about to happen. He turned and ran. Ruination was unleashed.